Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. And the most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Only God can judge me.
Is that right?
Only God, man. Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Ready?
Perhaps I was blind to the fact. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own home. Just a bunch of dirty rats. Will I succeed? Never know it from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped at work, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hurt. And they say it's the white man I fear, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieve, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
does.
Flatline.
I hear the doctor standing over me, screaming, I can make it. Got a body full of bullet holes, laying here, naked filler. Can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but through the Lord's care. Trying to remember, but it hurts. I'm walking through the cemetery, talking to the dirt. I'd rather die like a man than live like a coward. There's a ghetto up in heaven in this hour. Black power is what we scream as we dream in a paranoid state. And our fate is a lifetime of hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And fuck peace, cause the streets got our baby. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male trapped. And they wonder why we suicidal, running round strapped. Mr. Police, please try to beat it. It's a million motherfuckers stressing just like me. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Only God can judge.
That which does not kill me can only make me stronger.
For real.
I don't see why everybody feels as though they gotta tell me how to live my life.
You know?
Let me live, baby. Let me live.
Pac, I feel ya. Keep serving it on the realer. For instance, say a player hating monsters out to kill ya. We should be wrong, but bucket a nigga to the pavement. He gon' get me first if I don't get him. Who start praying? Ain't no such thing as self-defense in the court of law. So judges, when we get to where we're going, we're in the cross. That's real. Got him, missed him, crept the fuck up on him. Sold a half a million tips. Now everybody want him. After talking behind my back like a bitch would. Telling them niggas you can say the punk, I wish you would. Be the same motherfuckers in your face that'll rest up in your place to get your safe. Knowing you on that paper chase. Grass, glass, big screen and leather couch. My new shit is so pretty, I already sold the key an ounce. Bitch, remember Tupac and Forte? Them same two brothers dodging bullets representing the bay. Pop when you was locked down, that's when I'll be around. Start climbing up the charts, so sick, but they tried to clown. That's why they ride the bandwagon, still be dragging, selling lies. Don't think I don't see you haters, I know y'all in the sky.
Guess you figure you know me cause I'm a thug that love to hit the late night club, drinks and buns. Been living lavish like a player all day. Now I'm about to floss some ball players, sit with Bro Tay. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Only God can judge.
That's real.
Only God can judge. Only God can judge.
Only God can judge.
Only God can judge.
Only God can judge.
Only God can judge.
Only God, man.
That's real.
Fuck everybody else,
man. Look here, man.
My only fear of death is coming back to this bitch reincarnated. That's what a homie meant to. We about.
Salute them honorable Marcus
Garvey. We were not ready to listen then.
They might not have been ready then.
There's wonder whether we are ready.
Ain't no doubt about it.
To listen.
We ready, baby.
Now.
Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Flag fly high.
Woo!
Flag.
Forever, Garvey would never die. On my 90, the throne ready, let's take a ride. Tech won't fix, men don't choose a side. This is the path for the warriors. Seldom travel, yet and still vanglorious. Black power represents us. Do we the rolling with Africa or against us?
ready for the blood. I got the best stock, the rest got blood. The black is for the gods, melanated and elevated, holding the main charge. The green is for the cradle, Africa everything first, the earth's navel. His excellency put it together as a symbol of liberation. That's how we get the letters RBG.
Black lives.
My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery, now it's family over every. Cause it's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize it's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind, RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines.
I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize.
I'm acting spooky, just like in the movie. Son, you better pack it truly. Niggas switch, be acting fruity. You'll be cracking like they pooky. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and eluding. Bang, bang, pig shooting. We should blame Rudy Julie. Yanny for the cameras, kinda white and nose candy. Let you banging on the system, you a gangster wearing panties. RBG, my family, from the Bronx to Miami. Police cannot stand me, Pacquiao like a Manny. Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push the button. Rappers don't be saying nothing to the system, we say fuck 'em. This is for Nahanda, mama, see mama Akua. All the real OGs, I'm a soldier, cause you told me study. Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, I'm reporting in the duty.
Sticky, icky, yours truly, here for duty. Don DeVino, M.A. Uno, you know how we drop the jury. This is real, not a movie, not Mickey, Donald, Goofy. I'm a soldier, I avoid a bitch, nigga, like the cootie.
School face in a hoodie.
Fresh pair of khakis, we can do this like we fam. I go to war like the Apache, for whatever, I stay ready. I learned that in Tallahassee, Robertune, they used to school me. As a juvie, skipping classes, never let the system use me. My duty is my passes, watch the homies in your army. They don't always show their badges, keep your family
ain't living healthy. Teach your children about they blackness. Teach your wifey how to use the ratchet. This shit is classic. Get your food, clothes, and shelter. Fuck the system, pimp it backwards. I ain't hating, I'm just saying. If you wanna be a rapper, study
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
A tactical approach is designed to get certain results. It's designed to keep you alive. It's designed to bring about victory.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will pout. Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
I'm black and beautiful. Black power, black power, black power. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We're coming to you live from the belly of the beast here in America, KKK. We're sending a shout out to everyone that is listening in the many countries in the motherland of Africa, as we know you are listening on the late night. Sending shouts out to everyone listening in South America and Central America, in the UK, Canada, Japan, and all of these places that are popping up on the switchboard as we speak. And last but certainly not least, we send a black power salute to all of our brothers and sisters who are listening here in the United States of America that support this broadcast on a nightly basis. Tonight on the new Black Panther Party, we'll kick off our special Tuesday night commentary. We have a special guest host that will be on every Tuesday night, bringing us to Al-Kibalon News, Brother Tutmos Sankara. Let's give our brother a devoted attention. He's going to bring a lot of information that is very relevant, from political prisoners to what's going on the motherland of Africa and throughout the diaspora, including here in the United States of America. So without further ado, Brother Tutmos Sankara, you have the floor, King. We also have, I'm going to do a quick mic check, we have our National Minister of Culture on the line, Brother Greg, out of New Jersey. So, Brother Tutmos, can we get a mic check, brother? Mic check, mic check.
Black power, black power, black power.
Wild power!
That's Brother Greg's daughter. She always starts our show out. One more time, princess.
Wild power!
I love that.
That's right, that's right. So, we got a good mic check regarding Brother Greg. But Brother Tutmos, you have the floor, and Brother Greg and I will be commentating back and forth. We want to remind the audience, once the brother does the presentation or gives us the information, be sure to press 1 to get into the host queue so that when we open up the mics, you can add your question and or comment. Brother Comrade Tutmos, you have the floor. King Black Power.
Black Power, Queen, and thank you, to your listening audience, and thank you to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense for opening up your platform for me once again, and now on a permanent basis, every Tuesday we'll be here. bringing you this political information. And a special thanks to you, Sister Crystal, and your staff at the New Black Panther Party for your continued resistance against United States and worldwide imperialism, and for your steadfast discipline in presenting every week and now every day our people with this information that is very pertinent to our survival at this very politically charged time that we're in. And so we're going to dive right into this. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. It's well deserved. And so I'm going to go right into this information because we have a lot going on in the African world. Near the end of the show, we'll deal with activities whereby which we can get involved in, organizations to relate to, and things of that nature. But first off, our great comrade and Black Liberation Army veteran, Russell Maroon Schultz, has been released on compassionate release by the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. And on first hearing this news, there was, of course, great elation. The liberation of any of our ex-Black Panther comrades is always a victory for us in the liberation struggle. But we have to be mindful, particularly in cases such as Delbert Africa, as we just witnessed a few months ago, that the physical condition of these comrades oftentimes is the reasoning for this so-called compassion from these state and federal departments of corrections. And with the founding member of the Black Unity Council, veteran Black Panther and soldier of the Black Liberation Army, Russell Maroon Schultz, who was incarcerated in 1972, convicted of a first-degree murder for the politically motivated, quote-unquote, attack on a police station in Philadelphia in August 1970, that left one officer dead and another wounded. Sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, Schultz escaped from prison twice, once in 1977 and again in 1980, earning him the nickname Maroon, you know, in reference to the escaped slave Africans in North and South America. He endured 30 years of inhumane solitary confinement. Schultz became president of the Pennsylvania Association of Lifers and was lobbying lawmakers to repeal sentences of life without parole in 1983, when he was placed in solitary for several years. In 91, he was again placed in solitary for over 22 consecutive years until successfully completing a quote-unquote step-down program in 2014. In 2016, Schultz won a $99,000 settlement and a permanent reprieve from solitary in a case that challenged Pennsylvania's use of cruel and unusual punishment. In 2019, Schultz was diagnosed with colorectal cancer, survived 12 rounds of chemotherapy, and was scheduled for surgery last fall to remove the primary cancerous mass. However, in October 2020, Schultz was placed in lockdown at the State Correctional Institute, Dallas, in Pennsylvania, where he contracted COVID-19. Guards had brought the virus into the prison. When Schultz was finally able to have his surgery, after months of delays, the cancer had metastasized. By the spring of 2021, he had terminal stage 4 cancer. Schultz first petitioned for compassionate release in August 2021, but was denied by Judge Scott. In repetitioning, Schultz's attorney, Brett Grope, with the Abolitionist Law Center, outlined the emergency that has arisen since August. During the October 25th hearing, a number of witnesses, including the doctor who has provided his hospital care since 2019, testified that the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections and SCI Dallas have proven incapable of giving Schultz the normal standard of hospice care for a terminal patient. With the cancerous mass completely obstructing Schultz's intestines, doctors at the hospital started perinatal care to infuse a specialized form of food intravenously while draining any fluids that might enter his stomach. When Schultz was sent back to SCI Dallas, prison staff failed to follow the procedure. His condition deteriorated within days and was rushed back to the hospital, essentially withholding all the nutrition and water from a person once parenteral care nutrition has started, is a death sentence. For the record, SCI Dallas stated that not only could they not provide this care, they would not. During the hearing, Schultz, from a wheelchair in his prison cell, made a statement on his own behalf, acknowledging this was the first time she had actually seen Schultz and how dire his situation appeared. Judge Scott expressed shock at the prison's substandard care. In August, Scott ordered that Schultz receive hospice care in prison. Since the DOC failed to do what they said they would, Judge Scott had no recourse but to send him to hospice outside. She noted that the DOC was either unable or unwilling to provide the necessary end-of-life care, and that every person is entitled to die with dignity. Speaking at a gathering outside the court following Judge Scott's decision, Russian Schultz III stated that it was heart-moving to hear him speak for himself. The transcripts from this hearing contained the evidence that the prisoners don't have the ability, not just for healthy prisoners, but for geriatric ones, to provide health care they need. They have effectively killed my father. There's a lawsuit here, not just for my father, but for prisoners in general who have historically suffered poor health care. The judge stated she can't believe that the prison can't afford health care. There's no way that their prisoner can take care of any of them in any substantially healthy way. Police in Philadelphia and prison abolitionist Yane Indigo, speaking with Workers World, expressed hope that Judge Scott's decision could have a positive impact for the passage of Pennsylvania SB 135, which seeks to eliminate the sentence of life without parole. Another bill, SP 835, would provide for parole for the sick and elderly. This hearing exposed the DOC's failure to provide medical care. If the legislation is passed, it would benefit, of course, all older political prisoners and all prisoners in Pennsylvania and set a precedent that would help in other states as well. Russell Maroon Schultz, 24 years in a cell by himself and tortured medically, medical apartheid behind enemy lines on this comrade who's part of African revolutionary history in the United States. It's now home, but the compassion was only shown at a point where it was imminent that his death would be occurring. And that is what we're witnessing with our political prisoners. As I mentioned earlier, we saw with Delbert, we've seen many instances of ex-Black Panther and ex-revolutionary Africans in the United States who find themselves behind enemy lines, losing their lives. Maryland, Phil, Albert, Washington. Yes.
That's the same thing that happened with the brother from the Angola 3.
Same thing.
They sent him home, and he died within, I think it was less than a week, right?
Yep.
I'm going to get his name right and come back. But it was one of the brothers with the Angola 3. They did the same exact thing.
And we've seen cases where we've been able to bring political prisoners back to health that they thought that were imminently dead. When Sekou came home, Sekou was sick. Sekou was really sick. And he was sick for a little while after he came home, but he was able to be nursed back to health. Baba Conway, himself also, I remember going and visiting him. So they calculate these things to occur during the time when they feel like the political pressure would buy them some sympathy in the black community as they release these comrades. But really what they're doing is practicing medical apartheid and Frankensteinism and like a time release bomb to let them out and see them, as, even though we want to see them transition in the arms of the family, we have to understand that politically what has occurred, as it is stating here, with the denial of medical care, with the return from prison, from the hospital to the prison of him, you know, being left out just basically to die, as his son, Russell Maroon III, said. And so we have to look at these things politically, and we have to look at them as an African nation, because as I often say, no nation can call itself a nation if you don't stand up for those who have given sacrifice for those red, black, and green colors that are our standard. It is one of the only ways that you can actually, as a people that have been colonized, participate in the political process of a government in exile or a republic in waiting. It is by recognizing that military significance of those armed freedom fighters that we have had to defend our nation that has been under attack. I mean, you have to look at the reason why the Black Panther Party and the Lowndes County Freedom Party and RAM and all these other movements and the New Black Panther Party has been created. It's because we're under direct, murderous, constant attack from white supremacy, the police forces of the United States, and ordinary vigilant citizenry. Speaking of that, we have the trial of Ahmaud Arbery underway here in Georgia, and the crackers are already on the bull, you know, even though it was able to be allowed in the case that the Confederate flag that Travis, the son, bore on his truck. There's only one black person on the jury, you know, and the way that they were struck was based on these local laws that they have, that it didn't have to be that they didn't have to find out that these people couldn't, without prejudice, render a judgment. They have all these other reasons. That's particularly parochial to these country little backwards counties and towns in the southern United States. You know, their laws are different. It's states' rights, and that's what you have to understand. The federal government doesn't mean anything. Really, basically, their laws can be ignored. And these people set codes and ordinances and changes in their court process that are particular to these places. In Brunswick, Georgia, it's one of the country's crackle places you have ever seen in your life. You know, I know. Basically, first of all, my mom, sisters, everybody lives in Savannah. So it's right there, you know, just an hour away. And so this situation, and which harkens back to the case of many others who have been murdered at the hands of white vigilantes, is another reason why the liberation of African people and that history of those freedom fighters who now are still behind enemy lines. Saturday, we went on a bike ride sponsored by Malcolm X Grassroots Atlanta for Mutulu Shakur, well-attended. His son, Tlaib Shakur, who resides here in Atlanta, look forward to him being on Al-Cuba Line News, was there in attendance along with us. We had a nice, strenuous ride. We woke up the community screaming Black Power and Free Mutulu all throughout the West End. And that constant work now coming up this weekend in Washington, D.C., will be at Lafayette Park on Saturday for a rally for Afia Siddiqui and Imam Jamil Al-Amin there in Washington, D.C. The Imam Jamil Action Network, that organization, that very potent organization that has been in the forefront of the liberation of Comrade Imam Jamil. The son of Imam Jamil will be there in attendance along with many comrades from the Washington, D.C. political prisoner activist community, along with comrades from New York and Maryland and Jersey, particularly the Jericho movement. The liberation of Imam Jamil Al-Amin falls in the same arena as we just discussed of Russell Maroon Schultz, where now he has a blood cancer and has had to endure surgeries behind enemy lines also. And, of course, we know the egregiousness of that case right here locally in Atlanta, particularly whereby which he was convicted of murder of a Fulton County deputy and the wounding of another one. And the same deputy that was wounded described another person. He said he was 5'9 and had some cold gray eyes. Imagine me, eyes are brown and he's 6'5. You know, he's used to hoop real good. So, and this person, Otis Jackson is his name, confessed to the crime behind enemy lines here in the Georgia Department of Corrections. Many of my comrades contacted me about it, and we were able to actually get that statement entered into the court records in regards to this case of Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly known as H. Rap Brown, this great figure from revolutionary history. Do you get the pattern? These things occur. The United States government and imperialists, they never give up. They're always chasing our leaders. They're always seeking to murder them. They're always seeking to incarcerate them. That's why, as I said before, understanding who you are, New Africa, Africans in the United States, who you are and who your figures are from history, organized around that, is what makes you a nation. That's your definition. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, sir. So you unpacked a lot right there. I mean, you unpacked a lot. From the case of the medical apartheid of political prisoner Russell Schultz, you address the efforts that are going on to bring it. What, now, can you backtrack and speak more about what the initiative for Mutulu is and what is the status on his case? Isn't he long supposed to have already received parole,
Mutulu is grandfathered in, so that means that they had cases before the federal law sentencing guideline changed, and so when they were given these life sentences back in the 70s and 80s, these life sentences meant that they did 30 years. And then with clean conduct programs, all of that, it's automatic release. It's automatic. You ain't caught another charge behind. You ain't got a whole bunch of write-ups. It's automatic, right? So Baranza came up for his in 74, in 2004. The parole board gave it to him, but snatched it. The Attorney General of the United States snatched it back. I mentioned Baranza because it's precedent, because Baranza and Mutulu are federal prisoners. The vast majority, everybody else is state, right? So their cases are different. Imam Jamil held in a state prison, but it's a state, it's held in the federal prison, but it's a state case, right? So you have to isolate those two cases. And the mere fact of the matter is that the United States government superseded, in both of those cases, the Federal Bureau of Prisons parole boards that automatically, on their paperwork, granted both of them parole, but the United States government took that back. So in both of those cases, what we're pushing for now is, okay, since you violated that law,
so are you saying that,
of your own rules,
are you saying that
we're
state,
looking for commutation.
So you're saying that on the state level, in which they were sentenced, were they sentenced on state charges or federal charges?
Federal charges.
Mutulu and Baranza.
Right. So okay, the and federal citizen
and they were
guideline.
Supposed to be paroled. Okay, so walk us back through that one more time. So they were supposed to have been out.
After
30 years. Is this the case that and it's been long. How many can you for the record? Because many of us are taking notes, and so that when we are advocating, you know, we can you know speak the actual facts. How many years past the 30 years has it been for Mutulu as well as for Barranza?
Mutulu's date was 2016, so that's 5 years past. Barranza's date was 2004, so that's almost 20 years. What is it, 17 years? Past
damn,
his parole
17
date.
Past his sentence date. Parole date.
17 years.
That's
yep.
Wicked. And it's
yep.
The federal government that's doing this.
It's the feds. And everybody else that under that grandfather law, it's automatic. With Mutulu, they tried to use stuff about him being, when Ja Rule came down to the prison down there, the Coleman and all that stuff, and they shipped him to the ADX, to the Supermax and all that, they're trying to make it like a super write-up on him. Right, to try to use that as a reason not to parole him. You know what I mean? So with Barranza, it went to the AG, to the federal government. It was go to Barranza.org, Barranza.org to get information. It's very intricate. It really takes a lot of time to really explain in detail what happened to Barranza. But like I said, it's the precedent. Because the federal government now, see, everybody at Sekou Odinga, who got with Herman Bell, got him out, the Angola 3, all of the MOVE prisoners, Marshal Eddie Conway, all of those were state prisoners. You know what I mean? Barranza's case, because Barranza came from the Midwest and went to Cali and, you know, He covered a lot of area in his activity. He was very close to Fred, you know, as, you know. I had the opportunity to spend time inside of prison with Barranza and speak to him about these things, you know what I mean? And so when it came time for him to be sentenced, they pulled out the whole RICO thing and they had him on the murder of a federal park ranger and all this stuff. Now, Mutulu, we know what's up with him, the legend. Liberate him, he and Sekou, they liberated Asada, you know what I mean? He ran what they called the family. They were responsible for, you know, expropriation activities and supporting liberation movements around the globe from Zimbabwe and all over the place. That is a precedent. That is a precedent. That's liberation history. So when you talk about where we are now, we're looking for commutation because you've already violated the law. The lawyers are taking it back to the judge and saying, hey, look, why ain't they going by the federal sentencing guideline? These guys are supposed to be grandfathered out. And so that's where we are with it, politically, in the court. You know, Barranza is much more convoluted, but basically the feds, they don't budge. You know, that's what it is with them. They don't, you know.
Now,
what I mean?
Just
they,
for the record, I just want to get this on the record because we got people listening across the world and across the planet, literally, like the switchboard. I'm sorry, the stat board is showing people mm-hmm. listening in every continent on the planet. Now, just for the record, now the federal guidelines were being violated by the federal government. Now, both of these brothers were due to be released while Barack Obama was in office, who commuted freaking mm-hmm. drug cartels,
yeah.
and Eric Holder was the attorney general, and, you know, they didn't do anything for the political prisoners of the black movement. And we want to be clear that just because we had a black face in place, that they didn't do a damn thing. Just as right now we have Joe Biden in office.
As a matter of fact, let me add. Now, Trump didn't do nothing on Asada, but Barack Obama added $1 million on her head on top of the million that was already there.
Barack Obama Not only did he not try to help any of the political freedom fighters, you know what I'm saying, although he made some loose references in his book to the Black Panthers as if he had any type of respect for the Black Panther movement, which was a hypocrisy, you know, to, you know, really just a freaking scheme to act like he was had any kind of history or backdrop in the Black Liberation Movement. So for all of those of you who, you know, we just had a show last night talking about neo-colonialists, you know, Barack Obama would have been a perfect example of a neo-colonialist, you know, just because you got a black face in a high
neo-colonialist.
Place.
Yeah, the greatest neo-colonialist ever. Nobody, even to compare, you got to go all the way back to Rome, to Septimius Severus. Nobody has ever ran a whole white empire and used the white empire better than the white man used it himself, said Barack Obama. The white man, they couldn't take out Gaddafi. It took him to do it, you know?
Right.
The way they stoked the flames of police murderism, it was almost like by Barack being in office, the police was killing more black people.
This is a fact. When we came into the party, I came in 2002 and we did the record. The moment that Obama came in office, the police went reckless across America. Day of his inauguration, two people were murdered by the police. Day of his inauguration, you know what I'm saying? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and I know I'm not, it's just so much has happened. Y'all got to excuse me because I'm moving, but if I'm not mistaken, I think the Oscar Grant thing jumped off when Obama came in. It was Oscar Grant in Cali, and then the young brother in New Orleans. As soon as Obama got elected, they were both murdered. I'm going to pull a time up just to make sure, because I like to be factual. I got a lot of facts in my head, but I'm almost certain those were the two cases. And they were just murder after murder after murder. Trayvon was on Obama's watch. All these big uprisings. And the coon nigga never did nothing.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
And that was, but from the beginning, that was an orchestrated plan. I mean, how did this guy get in the office? How did a one-term senator, right, from Chicago get related to the presidency? Unprecedented in history. You know what I'm saying? The small hats put him in there. And he was for their agenda. They needed him to get rid of Gaddafi. They needed him to prop up Israel, you know, and then oversee the ramp up of the militarization of the police forces in the United States and the absolute just turn up on us, you know, and the ramping up, it was almost like they were one that they were daring us to declare revolution against them, because it's like they're showing it to us. They're going to let you see them kill, you know what I'm saying, Philando. You know, they're going to show it to you over and over again. They're going to let you feel the family's pain. It's like, what y'all going to do? You know, and so with where we are now, post-Trump, you know, back into the old cracker Democrat hands that's now really showing you that they're like Trump, because you're like, okay, y'all black people voting for me. I'm going to pass the wheel for the angels in y'all face and then not give y'all nothing, right? And then on top of that, I'm finna make all y'all take the damn shot and just genocide, just medical apartheid you on the way out. Or you can't get no job. We finna snuff you out now for real. No, just straight up. And that's where we're at.
And just gave reparations to the Afghanistanians and the South American in the concentration camps. You know, everybody, while sending the black Haitians back to political turmoil, pushing them back past the border and deporting them. As late as out, man. Go ahead, Brother Tumos. This whole discussion that you bring to the table about political prisoners is not only timely and important, and I'm so honored that you're going to have this part of the regular segment, but tying it in to, if you would, to this, you know, the climate as Pan-Africanists and how does that, and as we're talking about neo-colonialists and political targets and political oppression, you know, because These are human rights violations. This is the cruelest and most unusual punishment that you could do with this medical apartheid, with this light sentencing beyond your time. You know, these are crimes against humanity, are they not?
Of course. Of course they are. But see, the thing about it is, as you know, it's like we give the effort that we give towards it, but we have to reach a point of critical mass. You know, our people, I put it upon myself. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I have to do a better job of political education, being able to present a clear, cogent, unemotional, objective, clear analysis of what is going on around us, around the world, to the average Eurocentricized, you know, colonialized mind black person in the United States, which is the whole reason why we're right here doing the LK Live News Show on NBPB Radio, right? Because clearly, as Kwame Ture said, converting the unconscious to conscious is our job. So far as political prisoners are concerned, that particular struggle, that modern slavery, cuts right to the reasoning for our being in this land in the first place, right? So it is the up-to-date modernization of that plantation, I'm going to escape to the swamps or fight this crap and burn down the house and kill all the children and him mentality, right? So as the prisoners who are now behind enemy lines are understanding now, because of this up-ramp in political education, because of this up-ramp in technology, where now cats is behind the joint, with the, you know what I'm saying? They got the hot, we call it the hot potato, the telephone. Because if you get caught with it, you know, you got to keep passing it. You can't keep it in your hands too long. But now that we have the ability to actually bring to you what actually is occurring on the slave ship today, you can see it. You can see the beatings. You can see the conditions. You can see it. And so the evidence, the world can't deny it. And the unitary, and the Unitarian and progressive, like the current, it sprung up in the movement centering on political prisoners. This Unitarian conduct, this all of a sudden, all of us thinking together at the same time, has to be developed further in the face of to form this determined existence against the establishment. And how can it be used to isolate the reactionary element is the thing that we got to be sure of, because we know what happened to us before, right? Unitary conduct implies a search for those elements in our present situation which can become the basis for joint action. Those who we can rock with, right? The united front. So this is the, you know, the prisoners, what you got to understand is that prisoners like George Jackson, like Russell Maroon Schultz, and others, they live in a constant state of war. So these writings they have, Jaleel Mutakin, where we are on liberators, these writings that these comrades write, we have to read those things. We have to get those books and read them, because you have to understand. It's like, you know, people read Nelson Mandela's stuff that he did when he was incarcerated. And, you know, we as Africans in the United States have our own war history and our own instruction manual almost from these comrades who left this stuff for us. Safia Bukhari's The War Before. All of these writings have been left, their records of the African liberation struggle here where we are that occurred before us. In order to understand where we're going militarily, we got to know what happened that we're stepping right into. These things that we're going through versus the United States government as we're struggling for liberation are a result of what our comrade elders and ancestors did right before us. They're afraid. They know the ability we have. They know what the resources they had to expend to stop us the last time, right?
Speaking of the enemy knowing our ability, we have our old friends, the alphabet people on the show. They've been pressing 1111111. I keep kicking them off. They keep jumping back in. So clearly, this information that you bring it to the table, Brother Tutmos, has some some extra extra ears on. You know.
Yeah, I figured.
I keep kicking them out. Jumping back on.
You know, that's why I was like, you know, that's why when you said it, I was like, that's the place to do it, because I wanted to do this. And it's going to be expanding, as you know, you and I know. I want to go into video news. I want it to be, I want the graphics. I want you to be able to see something, too. So when we're talking about these prisons and we're seeing the stats, we looking at a vision of, you know, what the prison looks like, what state it's in. When we're talking about African news, we have the map of Mozambique up. We're going to move to a definitely polished and professional news presentation. But for where we are right now in regards to it, the information, and when you have to just listen and just take it in, and your consciousness is going to strike a certain chord with you, because that's why I want to do it, because this is the information that's not being put out there. But it's the information that's absolutely pertinent right now, because they're making their moves. You see the now the federal court blocked the Biden mandate for private companies to be able to have to they could make their employees have to take the shot. The federal court blocked it yesterday. So I'm not sure of the subterfuge, you know, what that is. Stay tuned on that one. But my mind is thinking towards, as it always is, land, independence, outside the city, food stores, you know, things of this nature. We all need to be thinking like that, like for real right now. Because that's, you already see what's happening. No need to even say any more on that. Back to these prisoners. You know, it's like throughout the centralizing, the authoritarian process of the United States, you know, how they want to rule over you, you know, they try to smash it all the way out, but they can't. And that's because of the Africans and because there's always been individuals and groups, you know, who, you know, rejected the idea of just laying down. You know, there's always just somebody going to buck. And that they could never kill that out in us. And that's what we have to understand about why the whole world wants to emulate the African in the United States. Although we turn that energy in a negative direction oftentimes, because we ain't organized enough yet to harness that power in the proper direction. But that's okay. It's coming. The elders and our ancestors left the example, so we don't have to really try to recreate any big plan. We just update it a little bit, add the technology that today adds to it, utilize that, seek the lessons, first of all, that brought down our revolutionary organizations before, and seek to do better.
Yes, but sir. We have our Minister of Culture, Brother Greg, on the line. I'm not sure. I think he was trying to say something.
Black
we
power.
Trying to say something, Brother Greg?
Black power.
Oh, no. Oh, black power. No, I was listening in.
Black power.
Oh, here she is. One time.
Black power, sister.
Black power.
Oh, no. I wasn't trying to chime in or anything. I was just listening and taking notes. But, you know, it definitely... You know, shift. You know, it's definitely going to shift my attention on doing a lot more, you know, research and just studying on, you know, the topic, you know, political education and so forth. You know, I know me personally. You know, I love to read. I love history and so forth. But this is one of those topics or one of those shows that really just shifts me in a, you know, a different direction. And it's well needed, well, you know, deserved. And I'm speechless that, you know, we're going to be doing this, you know, every Tuesday. You know, it's such an honor and a privilege. And, you know, it's just one of those extra things that we need on a regular basis. You know, so I definitely appreciate all of this great information, you know, that's going to send me back to, you know, digging and learning. And I know a lot of people who are listening going to be doing the same thing. You know, we really, really, really need this, man. Greatly appreciate it. Black power.
A couple of weeks ago, Brother Green, before you go, a couple of weeks ago, you had a young law student, a young lawyer on the line. Was he getting ready to take the – no, a young lawyer, was he not? And he asked what were some of the things that they need to be focusing on. And this seems like focus point is to deal with the violations of these, you know, freedom fighters. You know, these cases are not only important for the individuals, you know, such as our greats, you know, like Matulu and Sekou and Sundiata and Jaleel and Baranza. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And if you're able to, if you have it in front of you before the show is over, Brother Tutmos, if you can remind the brothers and sisters at some point how many political prisoners we still have and who they are, if you're able to pull that up before the show is over, because there's work to be done. There's much work to be done. And these human rights violations need to not only be addressed here, but on the international level. And this is why I'm appealing to those of you who are listening on the continent. You know, these are matters, and I guess that's another question I have, Brother Tutmos. Is there anything the African Union or anything in the human rights arena, that are taking place for our political prisoners?
As a matter of fact, there was just a very great event for political prisoners in the United States. They're victims of police genocide. The International Tribunal, the Spirit of Mandela International Tribunal, took place October the 22nd through the 25th. And it was in conjunction with a United Nations panel that had been convened, that this tribunal of the political prisoners of the United States and the UN tribunal both found the United States guilty of genocide. So it's like, but it ain't the first time that the UN them found them did, but it's like, what they gonna do? They get their money from the US. So we could use that to get the word out to understand like who they are, but it's ultimately not gonna change them from their genocidal policies or where we stand in regards to just still having to organize for liberation against them. You know, that's just all it is to it. But on the international arena, particularly in conjunction with the continent, because see what's going on now is the fact that these international actors, as I'm moving into the African news segment of the Al Kibalon News Show, that these actors on the continent, see, what you got to understand is these same white boys that go to the United States military and go home and become guards in these prisons are the same ones who turn around when they ain't making no money in this prison, use their military record and become mercenaries, and they end up in Africa and in Afghanistan and Libya and Iraq and all these places, right? Class of people of the imperialist government of the United States. They're military personnel. They're superfluous, right? They take on many different characters. They could be in all these different arenas, but it's the same people. It's the same people, these same ones I've just named, that graduate from high school in the United States, join the military, come home, be in the National Guard, go and join a mercenary organization, and will turn around from then and turn around, become ISIS. That's what ISIS is. It's the United States military. It's the same people, right? So the United States military and this class of people is what I'm saying. There has to be, we have to build a counter to that. We have to build a professional, well-managed, well-organized, well-funded, well-trained
international military organization. And the Africans in the United States is the ones who got the most access to be able to do that. That just is what it is. We got to be able to put all that stuff on a plane and fly it wherever we want to and land there and take care of business. That's what these people doing. Until that's the game. Until you're able to do it. Really, like, for real, y'all. That's the game. Just cross the board. When we there, then we, you know what I'm saying, we can talk that mess. And we can do it, too. I mean, like, from ever since our landing here on these shores, the Haitian Revolution was a very great example. The Seminole Wars were a very great example. The Palenques down in Brazil, the Quilombos. We have to build that again. Yeah, it's going to be harder. But they military ain't bull jobs. They getting bigger. They get most of it. They got drones and all this stuff. I don't mean that, though. It's a way to counter all that stuff. And go the same way we always have, go back to nature. A drone can't see under the canopy of a rainforest. You know that? You know, you got to put some people on the ground. And they got to go in there and find you. You know what I mean? You have to set up conditions the way that you need them to be set up to counter that technology that, you know, is waged against you. And so on the continent right now, man, it's so hot over there. Man, woo. Sudan, last year they overthrew Bashir, the military regime, the guy who had been responsible for the genocidal wars in Darfur and the civil war that ended up in the split of the country into South Sudan and now Sudan. Got rid of him. So things are supposed to get right, right? But here's the thing about Sudan. Sudan is the biggest country in Africa. Sudan has oil resources. Sudan sits strategically in a place where it has access to the whole continent. The Nile River travels through more territory of Sudan than it does of Egypt. The Blue Nile out of Ethiopia also goes through Sudan, coming out of the Blue Mountains. This territory that is now going back and forth between coup and democratic government, and they're trying to decide what is going on, is the richest, most strategically placed country on the whole continent. And the military leaders are prioritizing their own interests over that of the country. Of course, they're scrambling for power. Next door in Ethiopia, there's all-out war. Just straight up and down. Ain't no put no cut to it no more. Eritrea and Ethiopia are at war. There's hundreds of thousands dead. It's been going on for almost a year. And it's just the second phase of a civil war that's been going on because the Amharic government will not recognize, first of all, the Oromo people, who are the majority in that nation. Call them some people, they don't like to be referred to as such, but some people call them the Gala people, pastoral people, the majority, 70% of Ethiopia. The Tigrayan people, the Eritrean people, they broke off and had their own, made their own country, but there was a part of them that still lived within Ethiopia. In some kind of way, Ethiopia found their way to attacking and killing those people. And Eritrea, the country next to them, that those people, their original nation, said, we ain't going to let you kill our people, so they attacked Ethiopia. And now, them folks about 40 miles from Addis Ababa. They're about 40 miles from the capital, and they got everything, surface-to-air missiles, tanks, helicopters, the whole thing, full-out war. So as far as we are concerned, I had the opportunity. They've yesterday to speak to the representative of the African Union, and that CEDAW, the organization that WADU, that I'm currently the co-chair of the Atlanta, the Georgia chapter of, the representation of the organization within the African Union that we come out of, CEDAW, Community Institutions and Diaspora Organizations, informed me of the fact that the military junta of Sudan was being called to the table by the African Union. So the African Union has been, and it's not the first time. The first thing that really surprised me was the very first time that the African Union, the Southern African Development Community, our boys, right, Sister Crystal, from down Southern Africa, Angola, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Sabah, them guys, they got together, and they are now on a military mission, the Southern African Development Community, against ISIS in Mozambique. And so we've been researching this thing, right? And so it's like that was the easy one to figure out. Remember I told you before, the United States Fourth Fleet has been in the Mozambique Straits for about 4 years now. They'll go back up to the Middle East, then they'll come back down to Mozambique Straits, right? Between Mozambique and Madagascar. So now all of a sudden, way down in Southern Africa, not up in the Middle East, not Saudi Arabia, not Egypt, not Libya, not Iraq, not Morocco, not even Mali and these Muslim nations over here, not even Kenya, all the way down in Mozambique. Just so happened to be where the fleet was just stationed off of the coast, you know what I mean? Now you got a whole ISIS breakout. These people done attacked northern Mozambique. And because the Africans in southern Africa ain't, like, slow like that, they're like, okay, I already see what this is. This is United States government. It's going to take all of us, right? And they're putting it in veiled wordings, right, in their presentations to us. It's like we understand the gravity of the situation and understand that unity, military consolidation is necessary in this endeavor. I'm like, okay, I can peep you. I understand what you're saying right there, right? And so when you look at it, you can go to allafrica.com, and in the topics index, so you can find countries, right? And so you can scroll down, and you can either go straight to the country of Mozambique, or you can go to the Southern African region and click on Mozambique, and you will see there these articles, one after the other, speaking about how the militants, the quote-unquote militants, are. See, before, it's a funny thing, right? Before, there was always RENAMO, the National Resistance Movement. That was created by apartheid South Africa. These were the ones who fought against the socialist comrades, the government, FRELIMO, the Liberation Movement of Mozambique, under the first president, Samora Machel. And so these guys, now, United States and ISIS done attacked so bad that these guys is begging, like they've been fighting these folks ever since independence. Now they say, hey, man, look, we don't want to fight no more. Can we be friends? And these, see, I can already tell you that it is a calculated mistake that imperialism is making. And they do it all the time in Southern Africa. It's like, okay, West Africa, you got a good relationship with, through Egypt, you can get down through the East, and you got Saudi Arabia on your side. But down south, bro, you can't just penetrate like that. But they always keep trying. Never forget the Battle of Kutukona Valley, the socialist victory, Cuba and Angola, along with Namibia and Zimbabwe and Mkuntu Muzizwe and the Pan-African Congress, ZAPO, all those comrades defeated the United States, the Portuguese, Congo, Mobutu in the Congo, the South African Army, you know, and they Toms, that boy Savimbi and UNITA. Complete military victory. By the way, set them back. They ain't been back. The West ain't been back militarily since then. Not on the land. Not landing tanks and troops. They're doing that in Mozambique now. But they meet massive resistance. As a matter of fact, the weather, the last report, the weather and their logistics. Somebody left a portion of their fighters stranded and the Southern African Development Community forces slaughtered them. Yeah, you can find all this stuff on allafrica.com. Complete and unabashed just journalism in regards to African liberation struggles just right here in the public where we could just read it and learn from it. Landmass warfare.
It's so key that, you know, you are doing this segment because, and the whole independent free-thinking media is non-existent in our black nation here in America. You know, right. You might have Roland Martin, and all he's going to be talking about is pretty much the same thing MSNBC and CNN is talking about. So it's nowhere right. equivalent, you know. And so I don't, you know, we don't, again, like Brother Greg said, you know, not only do we, are we excited, but it is greatly appreciated and it's very necessary that this information is brought and having a clear political perspective as to what's taking place without having any type of Western media influence. You know what I'm saying? And this is something that we must, you know, take very serious. That's why, you know, I keep reminding folks, you know, he gave the reference point of allafrica.com. But you also, as you, you know, go further into what you're speaking in regards to this ISIS, which is the U.S. Military mercenary formation way down in South Africa. This is not a territory of Muslims, quote-unquote right. Muslims, so why would they even be there? You know, now, and we, you know, we addressed, again, a lot of key points. You know, it went from the war that's going on in Ethiopia to what's going on in Sudan and now in South America, and which goes back to, and I'm just, like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. always says, exposing the contradiction. Mm-hmm. Now,
right.
What is the role of the African Union and the UN once again? Are they just monitoring or just saying, oh, this is a crime against humanity, but not doing anything? Are they basically neutralized? Is this just a farce, you know, of thinking that, you know, any type of results are going to come from this United
okay,
Nations?
I got you. And that cuts to you cutting to some of the central points of my career as an African Union diplomat for 17 years, right? And the way I see it, the UN is no damn good. It's like a party, you know. And you know how you go to the party and you meet cool people at the party, but the people who throw the party ain't worth it. You know what I mean? So I can go to Ethiopia to the African Union chair, you know, changing of the chair, and they pomp and circumstance and all of that, you know, and they got they dope and liquor and prostitutes and all that stuff like America, right? And you could be involved in that if you want to, or you could be looking for them cats that in them liberation struggles that round there. They ain't in the government. They ain't part of the Tom thing. They just hanging out. They dudes like you, you know. They looking for you like you looking for them, right? And so you can spook like that and be able to actually meet the people who end up being the revolutionaries in the struggle later on. Like, I got friends, you know, who I've talked to you about, my partner Stein and other people who, like, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we, you know what I'm saying, some 27-year-old cats doing activism. And then now, you know, this dude in the government, and I'm working for the African Union, you know what I mean? So it's like you use the platforms with a revolutionary mind to bring about the results that you're wanting to bring about on your own strength, on your own might. But you don't look to these international platforms to bring you any liberation. If something so happens to happen positive out of it, then so good. You know, thanks. You know, but you don't look for that because it wasn't built for that. It was built by them.
No different than looking
to
the American
Union,
government.
The African Union, like I'm saying, is a bunch of neocolonialist toms, you know. Since Mugabe left, it ain't been nothing significant even said on the floor. I be looking through all the damn speeches through the General Assembly. You know? No, ain't nobody talking about nothing. You know? If they look regional interest or whatever.
Since Gaddafi and Mugabe is just a bunch of, it's a symbol with very little substance whatsoever.
Right.
But it's, again, it's just like here in America. You know, appealing and then doing the legal filings and, you know, for reparations or any other cause is more what is sounding. And I want to be clear is that it's basically like a place to document, if it even gets documented, or like a institution of archive, you know. But however, these
Let me say this. Though we don't have the type of revolutionary leadership, that type of historical elder warrior, put it back to the United States imperialism face, go back up there right after Obama comes there pushing the gay agenda and say, we are not gays. Anybody with that kind of boldness right now? But, I mean, look at what Southern African Development Community is doing against ISIS, right? So just like I said before, you can go and kind of lean on the more revolutionary governments, right? Zimbabwe, Namibia, Angola, you know. Mean, you know, just find the right people within them, right? Do your work well, right? Write out your briefs well. Make it make sense. Make it where they can't deny it. That's how I do. You know, like, man, you can't say nothing about the fact that there needs to be what do we call it? We're calling it we're talking about stopping the diamond mining in Namibia. They got to listen to us. You know, it's just simple as that, because the argument is, well, there's lawyers on the staff and da, 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 you know what I mean? So it's like we have to think strategically about these things. What I said, Phil.
So, in other words,
there's a bunch of neo-colonial songs in there, but then there are some who we can work with on some point strategically.
So, in other words, if the pressure has to be put on them, you know, for whatever agenda that we need forward, it's not going to just come from any dynamic leadership there. They have to have the right pressure and the right demands pushed forward. Is that what you're saying?
Well. It's not that the leadership is not dynamic. It's just that, damn, they got to do so much to dodge this crap to try to survive and feed their own people that they ain't got time to think about nobody else. You know what I mean? Because it's like I present these things to them, they're like, we never knew that, you know? But it's just like that. That's why you have to just build the relationship. It's called diplomacy. That's the essence of it. That sharing these experiences across cultures is what the essence of what we need to make another body, and that's what I'm searching to do, because even within the Organization of American States, you know what I mean? That body is like, man, United States, and they be, we be Cuba, just like what I said about the African Union, right? Cuba and Venezuela, I'm in the Organization of African State, right? Haiti too, right? We go to the shit and kick it with them, but ultimately the crackers pay for everything, so they tell you how the agenda be run and all that stuff, you know? So we have to look to, first of all, like I said earlier at the beginning, as Africans in the United States, understand our position.
We are the preeminent culture, not only of black people in the world, but all people in the world. They look to our style, our music, our swag. I wasn't telling you, Malcolm and our elders from here, they the ones figures that black people identify with around the world. You know? So we have to understand and take control of that revolutionary legacy that's been created. So when we talk about struggling for the political prisoners, it goes to that. So to try to bring it all full circle, when we talk about the liberation struggle of African people in the United States and the political prisoners who are still behind enemy lines, we're talking about a person like Mutulu Shakur who was convicted of expropriating money from a British armored truck and giving the money to Zimbabwe for them to buy arms for their liberation. These are points of history that we have to take, accumulate as a group experience to gather the spirit of, to drive us to the next step in liberation that we're going to have to carry forward here very soon, whether we want to or not, because they're coming. You know, before we always talked about Rex 84 and the King Alpha Plan and all these stuff, and we always thought they were going to come with the guns and stuff, right? And now they're coming with a needle. It's like some kind of, I don't know, some kind of play on words, right? It's like we're gonna give them the needle or like the lethal injection, you know? It's like, I don't know, some kind of, it's like they've created a situation where just like they always have from the beginning, of the smallpox blankets and the damn plague in Europe and all that. That's their thing, medical apartheid. They ain't really that good with the guns. They get their ass beat with the guns all the time. We know that. We done beat them with guns. Right? The Vietnamese done beat them with Korea beat them with guns. Iraqi beat them with guns. Afghanistan just beat them with guns and dance to the damn pop smoke shit on them. Right? They're not that good with them. If they sneak up on you now and you ain't looking, or you just your women and children at the village, the warriors gone, or they some great hot warriors then, you know? They, you know what I'm saying? They going to brag about their military victory. They ain't care nothing about some women and children. The mere fact that we are actually in a position right now, technologically, that all we need is the organizational focus, because internationally, what move we make, everybody else going to follow. We just got to be bold again enough in mass to ignite that as our elders and ancestors did before. That's our job. That's our charge. You know what I mean? Then I've been all over the place, man, you know, and nobody got access to what we did. We could actually do it in like, okay, so this is my joint, so I gotta give it up, right, Crystal? Like, we are in a position to actually build the type of military structure, as I said before, that could cast its net across the globe. We have access to that if we think the right way. And that actual thing, as I said just a few minutes before, is what is actually going to have to be created, whether we understand it or not. It's going to have to be created.
Yes, sir. Let's see here. We want to remind everybody to press 1. We have a call out of the 704 area code. 704 area code, what is your name?
Charlotte.
What city are you calling from?
Yes, this
is
Charlotte,
your
North Carolina.
Black Power.
Yeah, you
Black
know,
Power.
I've been, Black Power, Brother Sankara. Hey, brother, you're speaking some powerful words this evening, man. And Brother Katib just hit me up a few minutes ago. He said, yo, brother, you need to get in on some of this action right here. Yeah, that's what's up, man. Well, you know, speaking of a lot of the things that are happening with the revolutionary movement, our people uniting, and our people are becoming more consciously aware of who it is that we are as a people, recovering from the post-traumatic slave syndrome. And
yep.
The timing is right. Like you say, Brother Sankara, it is time for us to start making some moves. This is our time in history. And there are a lot of brothers and sisters all over the world, especially both here in the States, United States of America, and on the continent, having the desire to take back that stuff that is rightfully ours, taking
That's
our
right.
place back on the stage as the king and queen, kings and queens of the continent, kings and kings of the world, queens and kings of the world. And, yeah, you know, it's time for us to get on code. You know, I got a lot of brothers and sisters who we're affiliated with through the New Africa Network who live right there in Ethiopia and Sudan, those regions, east coast
right
regions
down,
of Africa.
Right,
so I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we was on this talk show a few nights ago, and we talked a little bit about what's happening there. But, yeah, sometimes in revolutionary times, you got to put on them boxing gloves. Sometimes you got to pick up them guns and them bullets to bring forth change. And we also know that through history, only way you get real change is sometimes it's either at the ballot or the bullet. And, you know, our brothers and sisters are more consciously aware of what we need in this day and time, the 21st century. And it's going to be some hardship between our other brothers and sisters who may not see the same vision as we do as well. You know, some are going to be on the wagon, and some of them are not going to be on the wagon, and that goes for what's happening in Africa right now as well. You know, the young people there, they need change, just like we do here in the United States. They're tired of getting their heads beat down by politicians who only think about themselves and not really thinking about what the people need. And we often say a phrase, if a government or a nation cannot protect or provide what is necessary for its people, therefore, the people will rise up themselves and do so. So that's what we are getting pretty much all over the world right now with black people. Black people are tired of being at the end of the stick and have worked very hard throughout many centuries, have gone through many hardships, and now want to be at the forefront of their independence and freedom. And with that, that definitely comes with a price. Hey, brother, your news that you bring is very informative. And, hey, brother, we on the same page. We are definitely on the same page. We thank you for coming out and blessing us with this information, because that's what's needed. We need to hear what's real. We don't need to hear what's watered down. And I think sometimes, like people, we tend to get a little afraid when we start talking about revolution, picking up guns and using bullets, and sometimes even going to the ballot to get things accomplished. But black people all across the world have been divided because the Europeans have put us in a state of mind, a state of hypnotism, being hypnotized and programmed over the centuries. And now we're in the digital age, and the digital age is doing exactly what it is here to do. It is to open the mind for socialism and to bring out that natural character of being prominent men and women, prominent thinking men and women, and being able to take our position in the world. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Brother Sankara. You know, I know you probably traveled a lot over on the mother continent, and many of the questions that our brothers and sisters get in these days is, are there any countries that see the same vision as we do here as a unified, people, putting down the barriers of tribalism, putting down the barriers of language divide, but concentrating on being on the black code, which is the black man and the black woman is here to get what it is that we need to propel us into the future. And a few weeks ago, we talked about futurism. Are we as black people ready to move in to the future? And sometimes that takes a lot. It's not just about the guns and the bullets. It's not just because of the political arena being a leader, but what is it that we want for ourselves to see that we are a people that can move into the future? There's one thing is going to happen. Once those gunshots and them bullets pop off, that's crossing the line right there. And so are we prepared to be able to move that psychologically?
I think so. But first of all, let me go back to the beginning. Of course, as you asked first, who am I? My government name is Keyote Scarborough. I'm known as Brother Tutmosis Sankara. I began my activist career. I was raised in Seminole in Florida. I actually lived on the land, the reservation, a couple of them, with my grandmother, who was a Seminole elder and medicine woman. I attended college at Knoxville College. I played basketball on a basketball scholarship. I ruined my college career robbing white people. some comrades and I had a crew that carried out appropriation in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I received a 8-year prison sentence. I came home from prison, went back home to Florida in 1999. I had the opportunity to train with some Cubans, comrades who were planted around Tampa, where I'm from in Florida. The people who hate Fidel Castro live in Miami. His boys live in Tampa. I found that out growing up. I used to work for him. I was a valet at the hotel. And I didn't even know who these guys were until I went away to college, went to prison, and came back home. And then it's like, this is who we are. I'm like, I'm going to go with y'all. So they took me down there. Right, and I had the opportunity to train and study with them and travel with them to the continent. I came back to Atlanta in 2000, and where my ex-wife and I had our first child. And I joined the New Black Panther Party in November of 2000, and I was under Dr. Khalid Muhammad here in Atlanta, and I was around when all the stuff happened. You know, with his passing and all the stuff that was, you know, happened around it. And I stayed in the party, and I became the chair in 2002. I was a chair from 2002 to 2004. In 2004, I resigned from the party due to personal differences with me in leadership and joined WADU, which is the World African Diaspora Union, which is, as I said before, a arm of the African Union under the
That leadership at the time was Malik
Zulu-Chabaz,
to be clear.
And Hakeem Mazinga. It was particularly me and Hakeem got into it. You know what I mean? And now, Crystal and I were just talking about some of those same things are occurring within the party that caused that split personally for myself. And it was indiscipline of brothers. That's all, you know what I mean? And me having to make the choice between fighting my brothers and just leaving them alone, you know.
So I said, I'm going to just leave him alone. And the elders say, just leave him alone, you know. So I just left him alone. But here in Atlanta, it was a thing, like, with us where, you know, because I was in, I do a lot of things. I run the African Liberation Day here, the UNIA, Malcolm Garvey's party, they in the coalition with us. UNIA, All African People's Revolutionary Party, WADU, Friends of the Congo, seven organizations. We're the Atlanta Pan-African Coalition. So I was like, okay, y'all do y'all thing over there, and I'm going to do my thing over here. And so we just kept that kind of thing. You know, we, you know, just respected each other's space. But it kind of always stuck in my craw, and that's why, like, when Sister Crystal came to leadership after, well, later on, I get to that part of the story, after I got out of federal penitentiary, I started supporting and still fully do support her leadership of the party, because not only is it cogent leadership, it also speaks to, personally, for me, you know, she may not even understand that, but personally, it speaks to me of what I felt like was the thing, that misogyny that I witnessed. And so to see a sister in leadership, I felt like, okay, because it always stuck in my craw. I always kind of felt like I shouldn't have, you know what I mean? Even though the elder said, you know, I feel like I should have took the shit from the niggas. You know what I mean? But I didn't. I followed my elder's dictates. But then later on, that patience showed me that, okay, things progress, things happen, you know what I mean? And so now we can be here with a sister actually in leadership after my previous experience of that misogyny. So personally, it was a victory for me. So that's why I say I, from the beginning, always and still do fully support her, you know what I mean? Because what we have to understand is that those things, those little idiosyncrasies of leadership, and like I said, the African in the United States coming to that forward of leadership and showing the world, that's the little shit that's stopping it, bro. That little bully. You might not think, it's like, man, how some dudes that can't take sisters rejecting them stop the whole African world revolution? Easy. Easy. Because when the sisters don't feel comfortable, we're dead. We're done. And if we're going to have organizations, just like the Black Panther Party was, they're going to be 65, 75, 85% sisters, period. So if you run them off because you're thirsty, then your revolution is dead. That's
Totally
all the way away
you.
From what you're supposed to be doing, actually elevating her, right, to your, these putting up, not because she's so pretty or not, no, because she deserved to be in leadership. Put her up there. Talk to the people. So, you know, you might not, you know, so to be sometimes be a little shy. You know, no, go ahead on. Do it. You know, that's our charge, because the sisters represent the nation. In the ultimate scheme of things, in the end, you know, or maybe just in my crazy imagination, it's like we're not even supposed to be out here. It's like if somebody comes to a rally of like African revolutionary leadership, you might see a few brothers around, like, doing security, but you're going to see the sisters because they're doing the work, and the guys is ready somewhere training to, you know, after it's over with, to just go kill every cracker and police that show up. That's really, like, in my mind, how it's supposed to be. But until we can get there, we have to show discipline, and when these jokers and fakes pop up in good organizations and seek to mess it up, we got to smash that. We got to smash that. If we don't, then it don't matter even the work that we do as brothers. We can be good all our life and commit ourselves to organizational struggle, but sit there on the sideline when we see that bull drive and lose everything.
Well, you know, one of the facades that a lot of people have about
I gotta say
people.
Thank you, brother. I never know you felt that way. But go ahead, brother Eugene.
Yeah, you know, when I was getting ready to say, you know, that one of the facades is that prior to our ancestors arriving here on the slave ships of America, the black man and the black woman have always been at equal. And all this women live and dividedness The man got to be fully in control, and the woman has to play the background. All of that comes from European white men, and that's something that they brought on. We have taken on as a part of our culture today, which tends to put that wedge in between the black man and the black woman, and that's something that we got to get back to, getting back to knowing each other and understanding each other as a black man and woman, and understanding our power and the leadership stands together. That would definitely pull us out of a lot of our things that's going on that we have to deal with. And as you see this today, in any unification, you know, our brothers and sisters, we got to relearn this, a lot of this stuff, and that's what's happening now. But the vision is, we have to have organizations on all fronts, whether it's politically, whether it's economically, you know, educationally. These things that we have to take control of ourselves, and we've allowed ourselves to be educated wrongly in Babylon, the nations of Babylon, and now we have to learn things all over again, pretty much. But it's nothing that's something that cannot be accomplished. But I get a lot of our brothers and sisters over there on the continent, they tell me all the time, we need the African diaspora here on the continent to help us safeguard what is rightfully ours. And this is where I think the unification process come in at, where, you know, if we see ourselves as reuniting with our brothers and sisters and taking back Africa ourselves, then we no longer have to worry about what's going on in the Babylonian nations, because we ourselves are being reconnected. And that economic agenda that Africa has right now, as far as the part of the jumpstart of the Industrial Revolution, I feel that would definitely help reunite us, and it will also give us the opportunity to level up wherever we may be at on the continent of Earth. You know, if we're in China, they see a black man and they know Africa does well, we get that utmost respect because they see us in a leadership role. Also knowing that we are people that are able to produce with our ingenuity. It's not just about dancing in the music all the time, but it has to get to a point to where we are considered producers of the world, things where as it is moving into the future, all this space technology, all this IT stuff that's going on, you know, we've been a major part of that, being workers in the Babylonian nations. A lot of that ingenuity happens to be because of us. All the silicone electronification of devices and things that have come into play. We once looked at on TV, Star Trek and Star Wars and all this kind of stuff. That stuff like that, that's just the movies. It's not just the movies anymore. It's stuff that's happening now in taking us into the future. So Africa is one of the richest continents, and all those materials, computers and telephones and cell phones and the minerals, uranium, gold, everything that's needed to produce these devices and to propel into the future, it's on our ancestral lands. And as we are being asked to be part of this unification process there, yeah, we definitely have to take on the initiative ourselves to, at some point in time, we got to get past this white man stuff. You know, I know the white man has definitely been a burden, but he has not been a burden enough to where he can slow a movement down of continental black people united together. And, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say with that, man. You know, I think there's some realistic stuff that we're talking right now. Go ahead, sis.
I want to say that I want to tie into the fact of you know, this platform. We're bringing together some of the, you know, the greatest minds and those who have the best interests the at heart of our people. Eugene does a show on Thursday night, the Pan-African New African Network, Pan-African Report, New African Network. Now, Brother Tutmos coming on with our Kibalon News. And I was mentioning to Brother Tutmos as we were planning this segment that you had brought on a few people. And one of the brothers, he knows Brother Dinas. He's very familiar with the brother. And also, when I was mentioning him about the brother Mahdi, he said that's a brother he'd like to get to meet. So, you know, we're this pulling together of the right minds is happening, you know, before our eyes, you know. So I wanted to bring that, you know, to everyone's attention. We're down to 11 minutes left into the broadcast. We want to remind everybody that's listening to press 1 at this point and, you know, to get into the queue. Otherwise, we want to make sure that our host, Brother Tutmos, has these last few moments. Let me check this switchboard. Let me check this switchboard. Okay, we got a lot of callers. We got a lot of callers. But no one else is press 1. Press 1. So, correction, 8 minutes.
Hit that number
Go
one
ahead,
button.
Greg.
Come on, y'all. I'm listening. I held back for a while. Hit that number one button. Everybody listening, taking in all this information. I tell you, Tuesday, Thursday, right now, I'm these two brothers. I'm going to Africa, Chris. I'm sorry. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
These two brothers. I sent Eugene that text. I say, Eugene, I say you need to call in. You need to listen in tonight. I said, you need to chime in right now. So, listen, these two brothers, Tuesday, Thursday, that's it. I mean, all these people listening, you hit that number one. You got a couple of minutes left. You know, we all going to line up, get our passports, and listen, this is going to be
look,
it.
Hey, look, I want to leave y'all with something.
We got a caller. Go ahead and make your point.
This
is in Atlanta.
And yes, I want to hear from the community, definitely. But I wanted to get this in. It's from George Jackson. It's from Blood in My Eye. And, of course, I always, George is like my spirit avatar. I always, you'll hear him often on the Al-Kibalon News Hour. But speaking of Jonathan here on page 100 of Blood in My Eye, he says, Jonathan, my younger brother, understood this point perfectly. The purport of the raid on the Marin County Courthouse was more significant by far than its calculable effects. I knew him well, since he was and still is my alter ego. He went to liberate and to educate with aggressive and free action. He knew that as he proceeded in liberating, there would be more action. He wasn't a speech maker, and neither am I. Escape from the myth, the hoax, by moving into action against the terror of the state. Counterterrorism is the real significance of the August 7th affair. To Jonathan, the striking exposure was, quote, audacity, audacity, and more audacity. Theory and practice, strategy and tactics were based in his mind on actual confrontation within this particular historical development. He must have calculated that focal army activity that was hidden and nameless, operating where the objective conditions for revolution already existed and had existed for a dozen decades, would survive and grow if at the same time the Black Panther Party political apparatus continued to develop its autonomous infrastructure. Proof of his theory was built right into the action. Five desperate men were offered arms as a means of freedom. Three took them. George Jackson. Five men were offered freedom and arms to get out of that courtroom, but only three took them. And that's that position, brother, that you speak of. That's that position of our people. I'll take three out of five. You know, we'll roll with that. And that's what Jonathan rolled with. And that's what we remember him for in history. That daring, bold courthouse prison break. And so that spirit has to be encapsulated in us. It'll look different. It ain't going to be the same thing, right? But the spirit of that has to live within us, and we have to reproduce that history.
Yes, sir. Black power, black power. Okay, we got a caller calling in from the 678 area code. I'm almost certain that's Atlanta, Georgia. Caller, what's your name? And what is your question or comment?
And you're almost certain it's Mukasa.
Oh, my God, Mukasa! Well, Black Power African, Mukasa Ricks, this is where we get the Black Power from. Original Black Panther before Chewy. Oh, wow. So I want to let y'all know, even though this show is scheduled till 9, it does run over. And I know it's impossible. Mukasa going to have 4 minutes. So, Mukasa, you have the floor.
I'm not going to take no time. Y'all have said everything and made it very clear. But you did just test my heart when you talked about George Jackson and Rochelle McGee and the Soledad brothers. And I attended George Jackson's funeral. And he got a little sister named Penny. And I was there because Angela Davis asked me to come there to the prison to visit her. And I went to the prison, and then they had George Jackson funeral during the same time. But y'all, what you said was very good, very clear, and Africa must unite, and we must get organized, and we must educate our people, and that more so than going at their weapon, we must go at their mind, and we get their mind, then everything else will follow. But we really got to revolutionary educate our people. Y'all, and I look forward to next.
Yes, sir. Black power.
Black power, Africa.
Black power, by Brother Mukasa. Wow, what a special treat. And I tell you so, and so you know, Brother Tutmos and everyone, I've seen this 678 been on since the top of the hour. So he didn't miss a beat. Wow, that is an honor.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to hear y'all developing and moving forward. That's a great thing.
Yes, sir, Bob.
Yes, Bob. That's right.
So thank you, Africa.
That's
Black
right.
Power. Long live Pan Africa. Long live the
Long live Pan Africa.
All right, African. Forward.
Long live Pan Africanism. Long live the revolution.
Forward.
Wow. It's never a dull moment, I tell you. You know, that was a definite, that was a jewel. That was a super jewel. Right on. All right, Brother Tutmos. I mean, it's on you. You know, this is just the beginning, everybody. And as he said, you know, towards 2020, 2022, we're not only going to be having this broadcast via the radio, but we will be simultaneously live streaming via multiple social media outlets. So look forward to that. And the brothers also going to be simulcasting on other networks. So, just like Brother Eugene and them do with the New African Network, this is the people's radio, you know, the people's
thank
platform.
Thank y'all, New Black Panther Party. Thank y'all, comrades. Black power. Black power to y'all. Y'all keep working, man. Let's keep working. Let's push forward to revolution, like Baba said. Let's keep organizing. Keep organizing. Forward to the revolution. And remember, as always, African people, stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant. So for those of
you
who really, thank you. Yes, brother Tutmos and Carter, keep on news. Support the New Black Panther Party is our last statement. Go to www.nbpp.org. That's www.nbpp.org. You can go to that website to click the contact information if you're interested in joining. Or you can click that donate button, and it'll take you to the New Black Panther Party's Black Cross page, where you'll see our humanitarian efforts and disaster response and its humanitarian aid. So
Make sure you tune in tomorrow night and every night, and especially on our special nights where we have our guests on Tuesday, Thursday. Well, heck, we got Sunday and Monday with the national spokesman, but our special commentators, Brother Tubmo Sankara on Tuesdays and Brother Eugene Talford on Thursdays, giving us the international perspective. And this Tuesday night where we'll also be able to be on top of what's going on with our political prisoners as well as the Pan-African diaspora as well. Signing off, Black Power.
Black Power.